Well, we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read recently that computers are as old as Adam and Eve. And the first computer, of course, was an Apple. There we go. And it had very limited memory. It had only one BYTE, byte. And then everything crashed. That is the story, isn't it, of the Garden of Eden. And we've been living with that crash ever since. And as Jesus looked out over the crowds, he saw that crash in their eyes. He saw people who were harassed and helpless. They were victimized by the Romans, who occupied their country and taxed them heavily. They could have overcome that. The real tragedy was they were victimized by their own religious leaders who withheld the love of God from them by teaching them that their value in the eyes of God depended on their lifestyle. So they were harassed and helpless. I wonder if Jesus were in our world today, who he would see as harassed and helpless. I think for sure it would be the people that come to our door for help. They are the working poor. They have no education beyond high school. Therefore, any jobs they get are very low paid and part-time. There's the woman who can't afford a car, and she walks to her cleaning job every day. Unless someone gives her a ride to the grocery store, she has to be content to get her groceries at the nearby drugstore. And these people, the working poor, live on the verge of financial disaster all the time. There's a man who makes his living by collecting metal, junk metal, but he had a stroke, so where does his income come now? Or the woman who works two jobs, and then she was riding with her friend in a car, and they got in a car accident, and she was hospitalized. How does she pay the bills? Surely in our society, the working poor are victimized by our economic system. What if Jesus were up here, looking down on us? Would he see people who are harassed and helpless? I don't think we feel that way. But, you know, we're pretty good. We're pretty good at pretending that our lives never crash. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have, where the family is fighting all the way to church, and then you get to the church door, and then, oh, no, everything's fine, right? We hide our problems, don't we? But we are harassed. We're harassed by self-doubt, by guilt, by loneliness, by fear. Even on this Father's Day, you might have, you know, a sense of guilt because it's hard to be a parent, especially of a toddler. Maybe you are racked by loneliness at the loss of a loved one. Or maybe it's fear of what's coming ahead, fear of life after graduation or life after retirement, or life after death. We hide our fears, but we don't hide them from God. Jesus sees us. As he saw the crowd, he sees us in our helplessness. And here's the important thing. As he did with the crowd, he looks at us with compassion. He sees our challenges and loves us. And he teaches us how God looks at us. God loves you, not for the person you want to be, or the person you hope to be, or the person you should be. God loves you as you are. God loves us in spite of our messiness and the messiness that we bring on ourselves. And all that God asks of us is to admit our failures and to believe that Jesus death and resurrection has removed all the guilt. There's a name for that message. Jesus calls it the good news. the good news of the kingdom. And that was the centerpiece of his ministry. It was the jewel in the crown of his ministry. Yes, he healed people. Yes, he fed people. But those were temporary blessings. But the blessings that sustained people through all hardship and into the next life was the knowledge of God's forgiving love. Jesus felt it was urgent to get that message out. And so he gathered his disciples, and now at this point in Matthew, they are called apostles, meaning people who are sent out. He gathered them to be missionaries, but he gave them, as we heard dramatically shared with us by Matt, he gave some strange requirements for missionaries. Now, Keith and I had an opportunity to go to Papua New Guinea long before this most recent visit with our family. And we stayed in one mission station and we visited others. And we were, of course, impressed that the only nice house in the village would be the missionaries. Everyone else lived in huts. It wasn't, of course, because the missionaries insisted on this. They were a little embarrassed by it. It was because the church insisted on providing them with a nice house, knowing how much they were already giving up. And they were allowed to bring things with them, so our children were happy to see that they had action figures they could play with. But Jesus' requirements are entirely different. He told the apostles, he said, don't take anything. Don't take extra clothes. Don't take a staff to ward off, you know, robbers. Don't even take shoes, and stay with the people. However meager their surroundings, stay with them and eat what they eat. Now, I don't know for sure why Jesus gave them that instruction, but I have an idea that there might have been two reasons. First of all, I think Jesus understood this, the power of what today we call accompaniment, of walking alongside someone, walking with them, understanding their lifestyle. The Episcopal Bishop of South Sudan told Americans, he said, if you have $1,000 to help us with, use it to come visit us. Now, if you have $2,000, he said, come visit us and give us the extra $1,000. But if you only have $1,000, don't send it. Come yourselves. Because he understood the power for his people of having people from the Western world see their situation and care about it. So that's probably one reason Jesus gave them the instruction. But the other, I'm sure, is because that way they were living the message they were speaking. They were trusting God for everything. They were believing that God's love and God's love alone was enough to protect them. All throughout the gospel today, you probably sensed, and I think Matt conveyed it well, the sense of urgency in Jesus' message. A little while ago, Keith and I went to the movie Wonder Woman, and if you haven't seen it, it's a very thoughtful movie, not like what you might expect a movie based on a cartoon to be. Wonder Woman has a sense of urgency about her mission, which is to eradicate evil. Now, through the movie, she learns that it's not as easy to do as she thought, but she never changes. From beginning to end, she is urgent in her mission. And that's the urgency that Jesus had. He said, the harvest is ready. And you know when your tomatoes are ripe, if you don't pick them, they either spoil or the squirrels get them. And if you're farmers and your harvest is ready, it's your livelihood. You have to do it then. Jesus said, go. The harvest is ready, and I will be with you. I think it's hard for us to share that sense of urgency, partly because we hide our problems so that I don't think we really know what's going on in the lives of people right around us, maybe our very close friends. But, you know, people we work with, our neighbors, we really don't know. They, you know, their refrigerator may be full of food, their closet's full of clothes, their garage full of cars, but their hearts can be breaking with fear, with doubt, with guilt, with loneliness. How do we break through that? How do we bring the message? One thing I've thought of, just, you know, a thought, is that maybe we need to start another worship service for them. We've done the praise and potluck, and that kind of gets us out of the norm. It would be a worship service, not one that we necessarily would want to go to, but one for them. Because there are people for whom the way we worship is a little strange and off-putting and uncomfortable. With our liturgy, you have to kind of know when to come back and forth with robes and chasubles and even the way we do communion. What if we offered another kind of a service to reach them? What will we do when Jesus says, "Go, and I will be with you"? On this Father's Day, I think of my parents, and I think of how the message of God's forgiving love carried them through the Great Depression, through cancer, through heart attack. And they never ceased to portray to their children that we were in good hands, that we could trust God with our future. Jesus is really begging us in this gospel this morning to carry that message, to lift the burden from so many who suffer silently, and to make this world more the place God created it to be.